Hello and welcome back to Caverncast. I'm Oliver and I'm joined by Tan.
Hiya!
Chris.
Hello.
Emily.
Hello.
And Hayley in writing. And we are back with part two of our top 10 game title themes thing. Last time we did a few honorable mentions and then numbers 10 through to 6. This time we're finishing it off doing 5 through 1. We had a lot of different styles of music last time. It was a lot of fun. It was very interesting. And it'll be interesting to see what we get into in this one. So we're starting off in the same place we think, anyway, that we did last time, which is with Emily's number 6.
5.
Five.
Number 5, so I can count, which is appearing now.
Starting off with an oldie and a goodie.
Woo!
It's Tan's so excited they're clipping.
They clipped a lot.
As I have probably mentioned thousands of times before, it's nostalgic, it's great. Oh, you can. Oh, it's. Yeah. It just makes it feel you're going on an adventure, you know?
It is very. Adventure-y. Yeah.
Is it trumpets that play quite a lot in this? I can't figure it out.
Trumpets.
A lot of trumpets,
since,
yeah.
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 They are obvious. There's like sampled and sort of lo-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love them.
It's a very classic kind of distal.
And the tubular bells in the background.
Mm. Yeah, you can see how the animatic plays while listening to this. It's just me. Pixar, it's just beautiful. They don't do pixel art games how they used to. I know some games still do use pixel art, but like the old school. Like the models weren't great for some of them, like Chimchar, I'm looking at you. But they were still. Yeah, just classic.
Oh, absolutely incredible. It just makes you feel ready for the adventure.
It does. It captured that sort of, that sort of spirit of it all.
Yeah, Pokemon Mystery Dungeons. I mean, I've barely played any Pokemon games. I've not played any Mystery Dungeon ones. But they all seem like a cool concept.
Mm.
They're my favorite Pokemon games,
but for things that
I
think from my understanding of them are more. I mean, you're always kind of going on adventures in Pokemon, but more adventure-y in the true sense. The music definitely matches with that.
I kind of want to play it again now.
Yeah, because these games are obviously you as the player. Become a Pokemon and save the world. You're more into the world, whereas obviously with other games, you play as a character, and you could still call them by your name, but it's like you're following them rather than this is you. Also, this game is very hard to Nuzlocke, I'm just saying.
It's not an easy series.
No.
I love it to death, but I am not very good at it.
No, it is very difficult for one. Going up that is it the Temple of Time? You know, the second to last dungeon.
Temporal Tower.
Yeah, that's it. And then the Porygon Z is just using discharge all the time. It's like, yep. Dumped me as a kid.
Really tough.
Mm-hmm. No, it just this song in general. It's just fun. You know, you just feel in a happy mood. You just want to play it.
Yeah,
it's great.
The whole game has incredible music, so
it does.
Not. Not just that one, but...
No.
Oh, yes. That's a good
one. If you're listening, please go listen to the soundtrack and play this lovely, lovely game. So, if you haven't already, it is, like, what, 10 plus years old?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did do a remaster, a remake even, of the Rescue Team games, which were the GBA ones, the first ones, which are pretty good.
I never played those. I love the art style. I think the watercolor aesthetic is really, really nice. I don't know how it played, so I can't.
I really like what they did with it.
Yeah, it was good.
Absolutely. They took everything that was great about it and then just added quality of life and features that made it a little bit more accessible.
Okay.
And just really good.
Nice. I'm glad. I was really worried, you know, with remakes. Look, Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl. Were not great, so well, they're fine for remakes. But I love Diamond Pearl at them too much, so that's coming from like my super fan brain is like, yeah.
Okay, cool. Very nice. Next up, Chris, we have your number 5, which confused me for a moment. Because I was like, wait, I thought this was your number 1, but it's because I got the two things muddled up. So,
very muddled up, yeah, it's fine.
I see how I did it, but...
I see how you did it, because I'd done it as well. When I was making this list, I think it was 3 times I looked at it and went, no, that can't be right. But my number 5 is a song that at least I know Tan will know. Oh, it's the yogurt advert.
It's the yogurt advert again.
Wonderful.
I love the yogurt advert. I also really like this song.
I'm sure I've heard it, but...
You probably have heard it. Technically, I don't think this is the menu theme anymore. Because they change it with every like major DLC release.
Yeah. This is like the main theme. And like almost every trailer like has at least part of this in it.
It's very pretty.
It's interesting we just talked about Tubular Bells because the melody in the background almost sounds like Tubular Bells.
You mean the song or the instrument?
The song. Well, you just mentioned the instrument, and I was like, oh, yeah, Tubular Bells, but now this melody almost sounds similar to Tubular Bells.
It does. I think that might be why I like it so much, because... I
do love Tubular Bells.
It's my favourite album of all time.
That's very valid.
Has it got a bit of a synth going on in the background?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Loads of synth.
Lots going on. I'm not very musical, so...
Stellaris has... an epic fusion of synthesizers and orchestral.
What's the game about? I've never played it.
You have a brand new, only just made faster than light travel civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally a custom one, but it can be a great variety of things. They can be zombie parasites, or they can be robots, or they can be just regular people. And you just sort of spread out into the galaxy.
Yeah, it's like
friendly take.
It's like
over.
Civ in that way, except it's real time.
It's lines on maps, pretty shapes on maps, but it's stars instead of the usual on Earth or on planets.
Yeah,
big resource management thing, looking at spreadsheets and. Shifting things around a load, but it's fun.
I'm getting that vibe from that, definitely.
It's the like with all the at least with all the soundtracks that I've in all the Paradox games I've played, the soundtracks are a big part of what makes them so good.
Yeah,
I mean, big shout outs to Andreas Waldertoft.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah,
very strange how deep into roleplay you can get in their games about countries and maps and borders and war and all that stuff.
Mm.
There's a lot of immersion that comes, and a big chunk of it does come from the music.
Yeah. I've never massively got into them as much as like Tan and Chris, but we did one Solaris game where I was Moth and the sun was the lamp.
Mm.
But I'd also chosen Gaia World, which meant I couldn't colonize anyone else, so it was an interesting time.
It was tricky for you, I imagine, yeah.
It was a bit tricky. So I just had these moths going around labeling all these other suns as lamp. Red lamp. Small lamp. But, you know, it was fun enough. But no, I do love the soundtrack. It is...
No, this is a good song. I like this a lot.
It's got a lot of that... yeah, synthy stuff, which is very... makes you feel of space. And that makes sense, because it is space. So it does what it says like on that. The tin.
That's good.
Okay. Do you want us to keep going to the end, Chris? Or
No, we can move on.
We can move on from
It's like
there.
A very chill Axel F.
To be fair, yeah. Okay. So that was number
five
for Chris. Next up is Haley's number five. So Haley's number five is Elden Ring, which is the one that I did for my number six. So we don't really need to re-listen to that one, but she's written that it's very mysterious and sparkly with a palpable sense of danger, but also she's just very biased towards strings, and she thinks they're going to showcase a very strong sense of foreboding for the world you're about to get sucked into, which is very, yeah, that's very true. Agreed. So, yeah. That's short but sweet. It's going to happen with a couple of these because we have already covered them.
Ah, repeat.
Which, yeah, we've got a couple. We don't have many. We have got a couple. So next up, Tan, you're number five.
Indeed. You remember my number six was Burnout 2?
Of course.
We're going in the complete opposite direction this time. With an advert.
Dragons attacking an electric kind, eye.
With Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds. Ah. A game that I have now, which is Louis' fault.
And haven't played.
But still haven't played.
That's exactly the same with me.
Yeah.
I will not spoil it.
I've heard very good things.
I will not spoil it at all, but you are in space.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are discovering this wild and incredible mini solar system, which changes and evolves as the game goes on. You are discovering secrets, piecing together a huge mystery, and another mystery in the DLC, because there's a DLC that's got its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cozy, it's beautiful,
yeah.
It is incredible. It's got that melody, bom 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 bom. It plays a huge role in the whole game.
Nice.
And you basically, it's not an easy game. It's very sort of brutal and realistic in the way that, you know, you have only got so much oxygen, so much fuel, you can't take much damage, there's threats everywhere, and your ship can, if you land it slightly wrong, will explode, and
nice.
You'll have you'll just be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so nice.
But also
it
Space
has...
Banjo.
Space Banjo. It takes the sci-fi, because sci-fi can often be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the universe out there is vast, it's uncaring, it's brutally difficult to traverse sometimes. It can kill you without hesitation at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But it makes it cozy. And it's got that theme of the campfire. Roasting a marshmallow on the campfire.
Definitely.
Even
does.
In space. Absolutely beautiful game. 10 out of 10.
Yes, no, I'm looking forward to eventually playing it.
Incredible.
All these games. What's that game called again? I'm adding it to my wishlist.
Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds.
It does go on sale fairly frequently.
Does it? Okay.
100% worth it. And the theme has... It's got a very slight hint of like it takes a space theme, but it plays it with traditional instruments. You've got your banjo, obviously. You've got mm-hmm. like a harmonica. There is at one point. There is mm-hmm. also there's a few little drums. There's a little bassy. It's like a flute or an oboe or something, like a really bassy sound.
Mm.
And there's also whistling. I don't know if it occurs in this song, but there is mm-hmm. whistling as well that plays during that theme.
It's got similar
of a kind of Western.
Yeah, I was
like
going to say
the frontier.
It gives me similar vibes to Nuclear Throne, but that's post-apocalyptic post-apocalyptic mayhem. This is much more chill.
Absolutely.
But yeah, similar instruments, but very different directions, which is very cool.
Yeah, absolutely worth playing.
Indeed. Okay. So, my number 5 is from a game that was pretty good, but I think a theme that is distinctly better. Which is Crysis 2.
I've never heard of this game either. I don't play games, apparently.
Crysis games are a first-person shooter series that are very sci-fi. You're like slightly realistic super soldiers. You can like your armor does a bunch of things, like it can go active camo or can harden to be like more bulletproof. And then there's aliens. And I just had this game because Jack, one of our previous hosts, actually just gave me a bunch of his old Xbox games, and I turned it on one day. But this is the theme that plays, and the guitar is just—it's just really freaking cool. And it's Hans Zimmer, so you know.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I know who does this music, and I checked, and sure enough, he did the theme, and it's the slow build. Again, as with a lot of my choices, the stacking of instruments on top of each other as it goes on is just a thing I love. And there's just something about the distorted guitar that brings it in, kind of like with Eternal. Mm. It's kind of like a haunting, but this one's more action-y haunting, and that one's more horror haunting.
Hmm.
And then you get the violins and
yeah, haunting is exactly how I would describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love a violin.
And then obviously the horns, because you've nearly always got horns if you've got Hans Zimmer. And like the game's a lot of fun, but just one of those ones that just it sticks in my head because of the menu music. And because I think it was just one of these things that I discovered at the kind of time where I was really getting into actually learning about composers of music. Because it would have been in year 9 for Tan and Chris when we had our maths teacher say, go watch Inception. And I went and watched Inception and was like, yeah. And I did, and it was great. And at the end, there's an awesome piece of music.
Yeah, I know the one.
And I was like, this is so cool. Who did this? And it's like, it's Hans Zimmer. I was like, oh, that's really cool. What else he's done? And he'd done Kung Fu Panda with John Powell. I was like, well, that's really cool. I really love that music. And then I think around that time, I played this song. I played this game and was like, huh, that's cool. It's Hans Zimmer again. So
just finding him everywhere.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where he just suddenly kept popping up. And it was just very cool. And it's just a very again, it feels very big and bombastic, and you know, it is kind of sci-fi apocalypse end of the world vibe, so you know, it is that kind of big bombastic, it's all end of the world kind of theme, which is very very Hans Zimmer, so yeah. Like that one a lot. So next up.
Absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that a lot.
We have Emily's number 4.
Oh, I know what this is. It's the Dragon Quest IX overture. So this is like the first song you hear like booting up the game. Mm-hmm. What's it? I think it's 9. I can't read Roman numerals.
It says 9. Yep.
Yeah, cool. I have such a soft spot with this game. Like, it's a game I didn't really know about at the time because Dragon Quest didn't really blow up over here. It's more of a Japanese RPG. Mm-hmm. But this, again, just I love the adventure theme of this because, like, you're a character. You start off as an angel and then something happens and you have to become the hero and save the world. I like adventure games, if you cannot tell.
There is a trend.
How did you guess? No.
I mean, this is also very cool because, like you said, like it says it's an overture, which means you have a lot of the key components of the themes together. So it does multiple things instead of just one thing, which is a very cool thing about overtures.
Yeah.
But this is like speedrunning an overture because it does it in like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Like lots of overtures are like 10 minutes long because they put so many themes together.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, that's very adventurous again.
Dragon Quest as a series is a very fun series. Like, 9 in particular, it has got probably one of the hardest bosses I have ever fought in a game in my life. It is insane how hard that boss is. And for a 10-year-old me, I couldn't do it. And then I replayed it again recently, I think last year, over again, and it is still such a fun game.
Sure.
Really, really fun. It's hard as well, like, really difficult. But so much fun. And also the artist who did the character design for that game was the main guy who wrote Dragon Ball.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he did the illustrations, and I'm going to look up. I don't want to say the wrong name. Akira Toriyama. There we go. He was the illustrator for the character designs.
Does he have a stipulation in his contracts that whatever he draws and has to have dragons somewhere in the title?
I think so. Yeah. He saw it. I was like, yes, I must. I must be an artist on this series. No, nice.
But yeah, very adventurous. Very, I mean, obviously much more like the last one was adventurous, but with like synths and stuff.
Yeah, that one's good.
And this was adventurous again, but with orchestral instrumentation, which is awesome. Okay. Chris.
Yes. This one is one that has been on someone else's list.
It's the yogurt advert.
It is.
Which you're right, it has been on someone else's list.
But my one is the main theme for Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch. Which we've spent a very
Emily's?
Long time. That was on Emily's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Emily's number 9 or 8, I feel.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
We said a lot about it then, so
we
I don't
did.
Have much really to say about it now.
I think
it's a lovely
theme.
You
were the one that introduced me to the game. I can't remember. It was a long, long time ago.
I probably was. I was quite obsessed with this game back in the day.
It's a good
one. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about it. It's awesome.
It is. Joe Hisashi, you can never do wrong.
Indeed. So, Haley's number 4, which I don't think will come as a surprise to a couple of you that it's in here, is...
Genshin Impact.
Genshin Impact, the nighttime evening theme.
This one's really good.
Which is like, I've tried playing Genshin, like it is one of Haley's favourite games, so I've really tried. Can't get into it, but the music is lovely.
I'm the same here. Yeah, I tried it. Yeah.
And this piece is very pretty. And she says it's super celestial, very soothing and mysterious. Not many other words for it. It's just got good, comfy vibes, which
that
it
is,
does.
Is a very valid point. Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, like you, Ollie, I tried this game. I really did because it was everywhere. It blew up. I still have a soft spot for it, but it just I can't get into it. Like you said, it's just difficult. I got to like
the changing between characters and having to use all those synergies together just doesn't compute in my head. Like I watch Hayley do it, and I'm like, I am incredibly impressed because this is very impressive. But I've no idea how you do it.
No.
With my short time of playing Genshin, I just went for the characters that looked cool.
Yeah,
and it probably didn't work together in the slightest. And
no,
that's probably why I didn't get very far.
Story, I find the story as well isn't that good. It's okay. It's like, it's good. It's good.
I don't think you got far enough.
No, that's,
I will say
bad.
Because I have Hayley explain the story to me, and I'm like, it's pretty cool. I do joke a lot of it's Dark Souls because there were so many strange comparisons. I'm like, yep,
yeah,
that happened in Dark Souls, but they're just. Funny coincidences.
I retract my statement. I can't, like you said, I have not even touched the surface to this game. Maybe I'll eventually go back.
There is so much. But yeah, great voices as well. It's a lovely piece. It's very melodic.
Oh yeah, the voice acting's good. The soundtrack's good. The art as well and the world is beautiful. But yeah.
Yeah.
Something's there. It's just, no.
It's a shame there's a lot of it is behind all the gacha stuff.
Yeah, the paywall stuff, yeah.
I mean, it's not, like, Hayley's spent not that much money on it. There are definitely worse gachas out there.
Yeah,
you can get through most of the stuff in Genshin without paying anything. But obviously, you've got whales who will spend so much money, and it's kind of crazy. But that's how it all looks so pretty, and they have so many huge updates. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess. So, Tan.
Hello.
Number four for you.
Number four for me. This is quite a long one. Gran Turismo 4. This is the variation of this theme will play in every Gran Turismo game, almost. It's called Moon Over the Castle. If you played the Western versions, you might not recognize it very much.
I was going to say, the only Gran Turismo I've played is 3, and I played that quite a lot, but
yes.
I do not recognize this.
If you play the Japanese version of 3, you'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But not if you play the Western version. So this is Gran Turismo 4's rendition. It starts off with this incredibly epic, like, vocal.
I mean, this is lovely. It doesn't make me think of Gran Turismo at all, but
Gran Turismo is a game that at every single opportunity is going to beat you over the head with the idea, we freaking love cars. This isn't just we like racing. Yeah, cool. No, this is like it views the car as an art form. And it has this deep appreciation for it. And here it begins.
It is, because, you know. Ooh!
That's what I was waiting for.
That's what you were waiting for. They all do it.
Like, showing how there's beauty in these designs, but like I said, and it's really awesome to go, like, 180 miles per hour.
Is this, like, an intro which starts, like, looking at all the insides of the car?
Yeah.
And there's that one in Gran Turismo 3, in Gran Turismo 4, it looks at this. You've got this. It focuses on this one car, the Ford GT Gran Turismo Racing LM Edition.
Uh-huh.
It spins around, and the background changes through these beautiful vistas, and then it transitions onto a slow motion scene of like a racetrack. They're getting prepared with flags waving. Every little cog in the machine is getting ready, and then it plays. Bam! Everything begins. The racing starts, and you feel epic.
Yeah.
But also, the theme that they were saying, that they were singing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's also this. It's the same motif.
Yeah, it is.
And this is a theme that has lasted from the first Gran Turismo all the way down to this one, the number 7. They're still using it. Nice. And it's that iconic.
It's a good theme.
It's a great theme.
Which is impressive that, yeah, with Gran Turismo 3 and Sport, I think. I don't think I've ever heard it, but...
Yeah, it's mostly played in the Japanese versions.
The Japanese versions.
The only song that I really associate with Gran Turismo was The Entertainer. That's the
yeah,
one
I don't
always
know
seem
much
to play.
Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo was the other game that we got on PS2 when we got our PS2. We got Lego Star Wars, the I can't remember what it's called, but it's the prequels, and Gran Turismo 3. And I remember the intro song from that, and I liked quite a lot of the music on it, but it was all a lot of just like, you know, songs.
The in-game
music.
It tends to be, you have a lot of, you got a lot of rock and electronic during the races, and then in the menus you have this like jazz fusion that they go with.
Yes,
unless you're playing
fair,
the Western
that sounds
version
familiar.
Of the first game, which is sort of more industrial.
Yeah, the jazz. I remember that now.
Yeah, real good stuff. I love Gran Turismo. I haven't played the newest one because I don't have a PS4 or a PS5.
Fair,
but apparently it's really grindy, so I'm a little concerned, but whatever. I can go back to playing Gran Turismo 4 through 6 and number 2 and 3 and number
which
1.
Which is the newest one?
7.
Is it 7?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I had 7. I'd Sport wherever that fits in. That's on the PS4.
Yeah.
That was alright, but...
Yeah, that one was supposed to be quite good, but it had like less content, so
yeah.
It was a bit controversial.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a cool theme.
It's a great theme.
I mean, rock stuff's always going to be pretty cool. And that intro was great as well.
And then it ends, and it goes back to the soft vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, choral stuff. Like, just after this bit, basically. I love it. It's real good, and it was actually quite difficult to pick which one to go for.
Mm.
I could have picked the Gran Turismo 2 version. That one goes quite sort of... It starts off with a piano rather than a... Oh, there it is.
Yep.
There, it's back. It's back, the chorus.
Again, there's a pub which is like, what are they singing?
I wonder if there are lyrics. I don't know. And
I'm
you
sure
hear
there
it's
is.
The same melody. Oh. Gran Turismo 1 is one of the first games probably the first game I remember playing.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I was allowed on my sister's SNES when I was growing mm-hmm. up. At least not until I grew a bit older.
Fair.
So, GT1.
Okay. My next one is similar. In a sense that there's a lot of versions of it, and I wasn't sure which one to pick. And it's also, this one's kind of a staple. Yeah.
I was wondering when that one would appear on the list.
Oh, hey, no. The classic.
It's iconic. It's so good. I was like, do I go with the original Combat Evolved one? Because that one's really cool, but that's, again, much older, so you don't have all the kind of instrumentation you get on the newer one. And there's, like, the Reach theme I actually really enjoy. But it's not as iconic as this theme.
Yeah, I've played Halo exactly once, and that was at Tom's house.
Yeah.
And I am like, yeah, this theme's iconic. I know it. I know it very well.
Yeah. It's like the meme of like the 20 boys in the bathroom.
Yes.
Just singing it. And it's just like, yeah. It's but like all this bit's great as well. I think I like this version more because you can actually like you get the strings and everything a bit more than you do in the like original version where you had less you could do with music on a video game because of how old it was. Because it's like 2001 or 2, I think, come out old.
Wow.
So.
2001.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do, 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 do. Again, it's got the kind of like action adventure.
What is that?
Yeah,
I love that. Mm. I love it when things do that.
Mm-hmm. It's great music. It feels very, very hopeful. Again, very kind of larger than life, which fits, because yeah, but then you have the voices, like these voices, which are very much more the grandioseness of the Halo, which is this, you know, huge megastructure in space, and like what is it contrasted with like the rest of it, which is the like Marines and all the fighting and stuff, and then you got like the wider lore, and then it's restarted.
How come they didn't add little halos like those to Stellaris, eh? They got big ring worlds, but no little ones.
Yes. I mean, I always wonder how the lighting's supposed to actually work on Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are just sitting in space. They're not necessarily even orbiting a star.
No, I don't think most of them are.
They just somehow have...
There.
Yeah, they're fully lit somehow.
I mean, they're also there at all, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really weird for me the first few times I played. Because I didn't know any of the context, and I eventually just look off and to see this ring disappearing, and I'd be like, "Oh,
that's odd.
Oh, that's odd. I see."
I like what they did Forza Horizon 4. They had like a little Halo mode, and they made the skybox have that the ring world.
That's cool.
Going up, I think that's very cool.
That is,
yeah.
I like Ringworld. I like the book Ringworld. So maybe I should play it.
I do love Halo. Combat Evolved's great. 2's great. 3's great. Reach is probably one of my favorite games. Bittersweet as it is for its story. I really like 4. And then the newer ones are alright. They made some decisions that were interesting, but the old ones are excellent, and the Master Chief Collection has like all of them, and it's very often on offer and quite cheap.
I have got it. I just need time to play it.
Yeah, but they're a lot of fun. It's a great theme. It's very iconic. It's also just got a lot of memories of like childhood or childhood-ish, at least for me. So, yeah. Halo. Okay. Emily!
Yeah?
This is the third.
This is completely different to what now. I just said.
This one is very different.
Yeah.
In the corner, again.
More of yogurt ads.
I really wish I could log into my YouTube account on this.
Same.
Other yogurts are available.
If anything, this is making me less inclined to buy an Ephra.
I think that's how advertisements that are disrupted like this work for me.
I have Aldi off-brand yogurts. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, this is the theme for Bayonetta 2. What can I say? It's bombastic, it's sexy, it's just flipping Bayonetta.
It's very different to Sinatra's version.
It is.
Sinatra?
Yeah.
Moon River. Frank Sinatra.
Oh, the advert skipped like the first bit.
It will loop again, so you can listen to the beginning bit. Yeah.
That's pretty wild that they did that. I was wondering why, I was back in a little group of fandom. Like, I was wondering why all of a sudden everyone would start singing Moon River. I was like, are they really interested in like songs from the 20th century? And it was because Bayonetta had just like released or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so a confused. Really cool.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn. Back in 1961.
And then they brought it back for 2016 when this game came out.
I mean, it's been covered so many times. It is a classic song. But yeah, this is a very different version of it.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, it's very cool.
I love the Bayonetta series. It's so much fun. It's very high energy, Devil May Cry-esque combat. It's great. Two as a story was all right. It was very short, but this song just made it for me when I played it the first time on the Wii U, which is fun.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, it's very, again, it's over the top, bombastic, crazy, and like what on earth's going on, which, despite not playing it, is very much the feeling I get from Bayonetta. So.
Oh yeah, the lead into this song is great. It's so absurd. Like this series is like just insane, but in such a good way.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, it was the song for Audrey Hepburn to sing in the film Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. But yeah, been covered so many times, and it's a lovely song in and of its own right. But
the one that pops
everything
into
else
my head
going
well.
On is really crazy.
Yeah. The one that pops into my head is like Evangelion, like the original, like Evangelion used that song as well, and it's anime as well. Not on the
there
electric
we go.
The one, but yeah, no, this one's good. So, yeah.
Turning it into electro and bass. That's clever. I love it.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland, Sarah Vaughan, Louis Armstrong, Sarah Brightman, Chevy Chase, Barbra Streisand. So many people have done it. And Jacob Collier as an a cappella one. But yeah, very popular song, and this is awesome. Very wacky, very high paced.
Yeah, that's
and climax mix, so Bayonetta.
It's literally the first like song you listen to in the game. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's iconic. You listen to the song, you know it's from Bayonetta.
Okay.
So yeah, that is the song.
Like the piano as well.
Yeah.
It's really pianoing, as they say. Okay. Thank you, Bayonetta. We're gonna stop you there.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Chris.
Chris, hello. I'm Chris here.
You are.
Here's a fun old game from back in. I'm gonna Google quickly.
This is a 3 for 3.
2012.
Oh.
There we go. Oh, there's another.
More
yogurts.
If someone has access to the video, can you pause it? Because I think it's important to start.
Give us a different air.
Stop. It doesn't let me stop. It doesn't let me do anything with them. Okay.
It says Chris is hosting.
I'm hosting. Why
am
I
hosting?
Are you hosting? Oh, I am hosting. There we go. It's back to the beginning for you guys as well.
No, not for me.
No?
It is now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll restart it after this one, because I was like, I started it up, so I don't know where you were. This is very somber.
This is the game where you have like multiple choices, isn't it?
It is a game where you have multiple choices, yeah.
It's
yeah.
The choice game.
The choice game.
It is. You spend
the game I will never play.
The entirety of the first game fighting this one world-ending robot machine that's, you know, set on eradicating all life from the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second game, you go off and do some other stuff as well. But right at the start of the third game, hundreds of these things turn up. Mm. So the feeling at the start of this game is essentially, you know, the entire galaxy is under siege. You've spent an entire game and an ungodly amount of effort fighting one of them.
Mm.
So you've got this overwhelming sense of sort of hopelessness and sort of feel the tragedy of all the death that's going on as you run away.
That gives me Reach vibes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very unpleasant. But yeah, that. Yeah. Very weighty.
I love the fact that it sort of goes from like sort of still to that big bombastic. It's sort of like you said, it's that choice. It's a choice game, you know. You've got that choice of like. I just feel like it sort of has that nice parallel. So it's like showing you as a. I've never played Mass Effect, so I don't know, but it's like that introduction to the choice. But that's just my random headcanon ish. What that might mean, and also the space.
Yeah.
Space theme. Why am I hosting now? I don't want
to. So if you guys leave the activity quickly, and then I'll restart the activity, and hopefully, it'll fix it.
It'll give me control again.
If it does,
assuming control,
giving you the ultimate power.
That right there is a Mass Effect reference.
Oh, is it? Hey.
There we go.
There you go. You've got the power back.
Cool. Yay, hosting. Okay, so Hades, number 3 is another game similar to some of our older ones, some of our previous ones, which is the Guild Wars 2 theme.
Hmm. I've never heard of Guild Wars.
It's kind of like, was it League of Legends? No, that's not it. It's kind of like World of Warcraft, I think.
Okay.
I'm
guessing from the look of that, you fight dragons?
I have no idea. I guess you're in guilds, probably, and you have wars.
Guild Wars 2 is an MMORPG, so yeah, I guess it's like World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
But yes, about it, she has written... Scaly slitheriness before the orchestra comes in fully... with strong percussive and wind instruments to reveal that you're part of the forces and one of the many voices in the choir fighting against the dragons. So yes, there we go.
Hey.
It is a very uplifting tune that isn't too morbid and gives a sense of battling through the odds. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. It's got elements of that, like, Soulsian everything's pointless vibe, but slightly more hopeful.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia article for Guild Wars 2, and a line that I really like is the fact that it says, Guild Wars 2 is the fourth major entry in the Guild Wars series.
Nice, naturally. Such is the way with MMORPGs, I feel.
We'll very soon see.
I definitely get that. Very cool, again, we've got a lot of dramatic, bombastic pieces in this half, and then Tan stuff. it's not a negative as well. It's just I feel like me, Emily, and Chris and Haley have had some. You need racing stuff so far.
I think it's nice that we're about
to. No, I'm glad that we've got so much variation. It's great, yeah. But no, you're right. It's not what I'm on about. Okay.
Speaking of,
this one's also not racing.
Hey, this is a game there we go.
You may have heard me talk about, but you might not know otherwise.
Malakorias.
It's quite or yogurts. It's quite niche. Absolutely worth playing, one of my favourite games of all time, and one of my favourite soundtracks of all time.
Okay.
Are you ready for...
I've seen the advert.
It's called Beast Breaker, is the name of the game.
Beast Breaker.
Came out a couple years ago. And it is incredible. It's so good, and utterly underrated.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get it to Steam. I got it on Switch.
Uh-huh.
And it's also on Epic.
Uh-huh.
It is... it's an RPG where the fights are... Mm-hmm. like... pinball?
Okay. I've just seen the art style and it reminds me a lot of Dusk and Elysian Tale for some reason.
Yeah, I see that. It's the colours, I think.
Yeah.
But pinball, that's intriguing.
That's
so you have your character, and you've got this mm-hmm. huge beast.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a set amount, you have like four abilities that have very, very complicated and synergizing effects that you can like totally customize.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you can maneuver and bounce yourself around to deal damage in different ways.
Sure, yeah.
And it's so good. It nice. Is. It's incredible. It's got a really good story. It's made by an indie developer that, like, an indie team that has since gone, so there's no more updates and no more games from them. Oh, they just made it and then left.
Made them dipped.
Big Giant Circles, really great composer as well. And this, the whole music to this is incredible, but it. You're these tiny, tiny little critters in comparison to these huge beasts.
Mm.
Many, many times larger than you, and it's comforting, this music.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, really emotional.
Mm.
And I love it.
Yeah.
So much.
Absolutely. I mean, again,
please
it's...
play Beastbreaker.
It's definitely, again, one of those, adventure-y kind of adventurers out there kind of themes.
I really want to play this now. It looks good.
It's very cool.
It's so good.
Yeah, I like the it wasn't a pan flute, but there was a flute or there's a some wind instrument in there somewhere.
Yeah, it is like a flute.
Which is very cool.
And they've all got their like that is a theme that pops up multiple times.
Mm.
So it's, you know, you hear the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, and it's very, very good.
Very nice. Very cool. Okay. So, number three for me is the main theme from The Raven.
What is this? I've not heard of this one.
No, game, what's the story, Ollie?
This game is one that I got on Xbox Live Gold, I think, back when I was on the Xbox 360. And it is a point-and-click adventure game in the style kind of like an Agatha Christie novel. So it's kind of like Poirot-esque or something. So it's like... you know, the first thing is like you're on the you're like on a train going through like the Swedish countryside or something, and you're like a police investigator going along with it, and it's this big heist like game, and exactly the music is just so that in a way I can't even really describe, but it just is. And I like the game, I like the story, I like the characters. There's a remaster which is much. Like pretty and runs better and everything on Steam, which I've played, which is great. But this theme is just like the perfect embodiment of what this game is. I love the start with the violins going into the viola, I think it probably is. It's not quite low enough to be a cello. But then all this as well is just so like, I don't know, opening credits of like a 1900s mystery.
It's a detective show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just
and you've then got you've that, got you've the got... foreboding era section.
Exactly,
like noir sort of style. I like it.
Yeah, you've got the mystery. You've got the you know, like traveling off to magnificent places part. And yeah, it's you know if you're not into point and click adventure games and stuff and mystery stuff, it's you know. Probably not for you, but it's a gorgeous theme, if nothing else. And it's one of those ones where it's like, I've not really gone and played about the game that much, but if I ever think about themes, this is one of those ones which I'm just like, yes, because it just matches what it was so perfectly.
Hmm.
So there we go. That's what I have to say about that one.
That note where it goes, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
That's like immediately tells you that it's going to be sort of a mystery.
Yeah, it's like question almost. Okay. Very so good. Our second place ones now. Emily.
Oh, here we go. So, have you ever heard of the critically acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy XIV?
Ah. I didn't know that was an MMORPG, but I know nothing about Final Fantasy.
Neither did I until a year ago that I got introduced to this game. And it has now become my obsession and it's taken over my life. In a good way. Because So, obviously, the game is broken up into expansions, so they developed this game. It just separated its... Wow, two ads! Really? I can't even get onto the... I'll explain when I can actually watch the stream, because it's... Has anyone else got two ads, like, back-to-back?
No, it's paused at the moment for me.
I have it paused in case someone was still watching ads, so... We'll play it now?
That's 4, 3, 2, 1... There we go. Okay, you can play it now. So, this game is now 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was Heavensward. So this was the second expansion they did, and it came out in 2015. And, I'm going to let you listen for a bit, because it's beautiful. Because it has a running... Every expansion has a leitmotif, so a singular point in the song that they keep for the rest of, like, the fight scenes, everything. It's great. Because you don't even need to play or know that much Final Fantasy to play this game. Like, I didn't. I'm a newbie. But you take on the role as a character called the Warrior of Light, so you're a simple adventurer, starring in the world, but, you know, you meet the science of the Seventh Dawn, you've got to beat bigger and bigger threats, and it's just, you get so attached to the characters. Like, my character is called Emil Kardecker. He is a little Lalafell taking on the world, and Lalafell are like the smallest races in the game, so it's funny. So just, I won't spoil the game for you, but the reason why this theme is very somber, there's something happens in the story where you're down in your luck, you're broken, you have nowhere else to go except for the place called Ishgard, which is in the snowy, isolated, built on very medieval castles in Europe and dragons and.
Sure.
I'll wait for it to get into the. I'll play a little bit more and then wait till you get to the main bit.
So, Kardecker, did you say?
Kardecker, yeah.
Like Emlyn A. Kardecker?
Exactly, because my headcanon was like he was like an alternate universe.
I see.
I think to my character. From,
Ooh, that's a change.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Masayoshi Soken has become one of my favorite composers and he does not stop. Oh, nearly at the bit. Yeah, it's the... Oh, it's so good.
Starts out again, yeah, like you said, kind of very... much more somber, but still kind of epic. But builds itself back up to being very... bombastic adventure, and then slows down again, clearly.
This arc... I recently finished it, and it is phenomenally good for when it came out. Like, the character writing is probably one of my favorites that they've done. Like, just in general, it's just so well done.
Nice.
Ooh, we're building.
This almost feels like another overture.
Yeah.
With lots of different themes going on.
Yeah, the composer really likes his orchestration. And lots of choir, and imagine hearing this live would be so good. Yep, and it changes again. Because the whole thing about this whole expansion, about spoiling, is the fact that you're the land of Ishgard is obviously dealing with dragons. So it was like a whole thing called the Dragon Song War. So obviously years and years ago, Alazen, which is the race that they obviously fought dragons, and it's been going on for years and years. Everyone's dying on all fronts, and it's just. How did your character deal with this? And it's the main job class is called a dragoon, so you use the power of dragons to fight dragons, which is very awesome. Yep, nice. Leitmotif coming in. Yep. So this is This is the motif for Heavenswood. It plays so many times, and it's great.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a pretty strong leitmotif. It's like, well, we'll just lean on that a little bit.
Yep.
Again, very large and bombastic.
Yep, which makes sense for the arc you're about to experience. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to put anything else because that was the expansion I have just played and finished by the time of this recording. Mm-hmm. Sure. I am now on Stormblood.
Nice. But
yeah. Oh, nice. So good.
Yeah.
It's a good team.
Fantastic game. Yeah, it's a fantastic game in general. So just give it a try. I know it's an MMO. Obviously, you have to have a lot of time and it's a lot of talking. And the combat's good. You know, it's a good story. It's just a fun game. And you don't need to be a Final Fantasy fan. So, yeah, and it's getting updates very regularly. So then they've got Dawn Trail coming out soon. So,
that is very cool. Okay. So, Chris.
I'm fangirling now.
Hello. I am Chris, and my number two song is from last year's Game of the Year.
Ooh, some Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. I still need to play Baldur's Gate. It looks so
That's a very good game. Game that, if you don't know, starts with you getting a tadpole from a mind flayer. Popped into your brain.
Not love it.
No, I hate that.
Very disgusting cutscene because you can see his little teeth.
It's just kind of when they open the eyelid and it's
And you and a bunch of various misfits set out on an adventure to stop yourselves from turning into mind flayers.
Yep.
So, what is a mind flayer? Is that a D&D thing?
It's a D&D thing.
It's an Illithid. They are from space, basically.
Okay.
And they are magic.
They're a hive mind.
Hive mind of Cthulhu face looking people that eat brains.
Yeah. They eat human brains to survive.
Yeah.
The whole party is infected by this?
The whole party, or everyone that you can gather in the first act as a party member,
is
infected with this.
Is there a reason why? I'm guessing just Big Bear.
Spoilers.
There is. Spoilers.
Okay.
At game start, you find yourself trapped on one of their spaceships altogether. And a spaceship.
Yeah. And a mind flayer
comes along, sticks one in you. And then.
Well, it's a spelljammer, but yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to become a mind flayer?
Because it destroys your soul and kills you. It's less of you becoming a mind flayer, and it's more like an alien from an alien incubating
on you. Like a zombie virus, I guess.
It is your body that turns into it, but it's not you.
Not you, yeah.
Basically a zombie.
Only a little bit less hot.
I was not expecting that from the story.
Yes, a very nice theme. It's got a very adventurous feel to it, I find.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have the recurring theme throughout the game in it of just sort of a appears almost everywhere in that game.
Yeah, it started to bug me because doing character creation, it repeats it so much.
Oh,
I was like,
it?
Okay, you can stop now. and it kept doing it. And so it's kind of one of those things which is like a nuisance to me, but that's just because I took a long time doing my character creation.
It is a long character creation.
But it's always nice that you do some sort of epic thing and this theme that starts to feel like your theme, your party's theme.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's
very cool.
I'm cool.
Good choice there, Chris.
Yeah. Very cool. I've not heard that exact rendition of it. I didn't get far into
Baldur's Gate. That is the one that plays on the title screen.
Yeah,
a lot of the time, I'm instantly into the game, so I
exactly.
sort of moaning at the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. In second place for Hayley is another one. By the same developers.
Oh, is this Star Rails?
It's Honkai Star Rail, yeah.
Yeah. Star Rail was a bit better than Genshin, but I think I jam with the combat more. I think that's why.
That's the two very different combat styles.
Yeah. This one's turn-based.
Yeah. So this is constant piano key in the background builds anticipation as more layers of the score build up to create your character story, and the use of it extend. I'm guessing that's probably on the keys. Makes it feel as expansive as the universe you can explore in the game. Also, it feels oddly nostalgic, which also works, as your character was shown to have basically magic-induced amnesia.
Yeah, it is a beautiful theme, I will give it that. Waiting to log in is, and then the way that the, when as soon as you press start, the train shifts, and it's like you're going for a warp. It's great.
That's a cello. Do love a good cello.
I do.
That's a nice swell.
It has got a bit of... I know they're the same company, but I do feel get a lot of Genshin vibes from it.
Oh, that's good.
But they're completely different stories, so...
Yeah, one's fantasy and one's space.
Space! The Fun of Frontier. Yeah, it's
cool. Oh, that was short.
Yeah. Just a little theme as you're logging in. The Genshin one's distinctly longer. But yeah. No, absolutely. Get that. It does have that kind of like nostalgic feel. It does swell and get a lot bigger. And yeah. Okay, Tan.
Yes.
Second place for you.
Yeah, my second place is actually also Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky.
It is.
Yay!
we're back.
Great minds think alike.
Great minds, once again.
Yeah.
Thinking alike. Already said most of the things that we need to say about it. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I want to play it again now because I'm feeling Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
It's not long, we can do that.
It's really good. But yeah, we have in fact already heard this one.
We have. And so
it is so good.
Sorry for stealing your thunder.
No worries.
All good.
It was definitely, I was imagining, when I picked it, I was like, someone else is going to put this, and it's probably going to be Emily.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't likely to be me. And
the question was just whether it would be number one for you or not.
No.
Okay.
Very close. It's very difficult making this list.
Okay. Second place for me.
What have you got? What have you got, Ollie?
It's another FromSoft.
Bloodborne.
I'm not surprised.
I don't never played this game either. It's a running theme for me.
PlayStation exclusive still.
Still PS exclusive now?
Yeah. Yep. Still. It's not impossible. It might eventually get put onto PC, but it's...
I think at this point, if it's getting put onto PC, it's getting a remaster. That's
yeah,
also being
which I would be fine with. Because this came out in 2016.
What's the plot of Bloodborne? Because I'm looking at the artwork.
That is a spoiler.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because it starts as one thing and then changes. But
oh, we can talk about the start.
It starts off. It's very FromSoft. You travel to this new place to try and get cured for disease. And you fall asleep and you wake up after having this transfusion. And there's all these beasts everywhere, and it's all you're in a place called Old Yharnam. It's very Victorian Gothic architecture. There's all these like werewolves and beasts, and let's talk about blood. And you've got these, like, you know, tricorn hats and these long coats and everything. And you, you know, it's all five beasts. You become a hunter. And so you've got this music which is very heavy on the strings and this kind of gothic theme and the voices as well. And then at some point something changes. but this kind of very ominous feel to it is very, very much the vibe. It's also the Bloodborne soundtrack they did live with a live orchestra.
Oh, that must be so good.
Which I think adds to it a bit as well. And yeah, there are some lovely pieces in Bloodborne that are boss themes that I'm sure me and Chris will cover.
Oh, when yes. if we ever do boss themes, because I think my number one's going to be a Bloodborne.
So boss many of them in boss themes is a great idea. One. I feel yeah, well yeah. But yeah, that's repeating that. But yeah, the very slight strings in the background at the start, again, like Katie said earlier with one of hers, they're very good at doing tension, and foreboding, and it's definitely gothic horror vibes. And the theme with the strings and the vocals definitely gives that interpretation. And it's an awesome theme. Yeah, like I like all the Dark Souls doesn't really have music at the start. It just screams at you when you press start. and then Dark Souls 2, maybe it's a little bit. And then Elden Ring's I've already had, obviously. Sekiro is I quite like. Dark Souls 3 is pretty good, but this one's just is very my vibe. Gothic horror, tension and foreboding is very my thing. So, yeah, Bloodborne. Okay, and with that, we are into first place.
Oh my gosh!
So, Emily, first place for you is...
It's popped up before.
It has.
If you know me, my favorite Leighton game of all time is Lost Future. Not Unwound Future, Lost Future. I'm not salty. What can I say? This
the other one we listened to was lovely, so.
This one, it has the the theme of Leighton in it, but it's sort of the way... Oh, it's so good.
There it is.
You know. I love this one so much, primarily because of the way it changes. Like, it starts like this, like, with a classic Leighton-esque, but then it goes again, and it changes again, and then I don't know, this one sort of, like, stuck out to me quite a lot. See the... That. Do, 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 do.
Oh, I do love Leighton. They definitely, I think, as the games progress, they put more effort into every aspect of it.
They do, yeah, I agree with that.
I love the little drum bit coming in.
Oh yeah.
Accordion, lovely. Well used accordion, it's always welcome.
I never hear many with accordion. I think this was like the first song I heard with an accordion.
Mm-hmm. You've gotta be careful with where you use an accordion, but if you use it well, they sound lovely.
Yeah.
And it changes again, and then it'll go back to the... Oh. Lots of violins.
You've got dual violins as well.
Yeah.
Playing like a semitone or pass something, which always sounds lovely.
I don't know whether you can hear that, but I can slightly hear a ticking.
Yes, there's a clock.
Yeah.
There's a clock in there, yep.
There is, because it's about time travel. Now, the reason why I love this game so much is just the story, like, the puzzles were great, like, just, yeah. What can I say? It's not already been said about this franchise. It is fantastic, and they are treasures.
I mean, this is a crazy good theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just hits you with more piano. It's just,
Yeah. Like, this has a, that's a through line, but it does do quite a lot with it. It's definitely interesting because, like, the only thing I know about Professor Layton is what you guys told me last time.
Okay.
But just on that context, like, this very much feels like it fits. Yeah.
No, if you do get the chance, Ollie, please play these games. They are amazing.
Yes. Two of them are available on Android.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably try to.
And it is like, oh, it's, oh, I love it. This was a really hard list in general, but I just, I, oh. And it stops. It's just, oh, I love it. I just, I love it, love it, love it, love it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. So it's, understandable, it's just so unique.
That was a great team.
Yeah, it's just so unique. You just don't hear accordion. Well, I know, like I said, I never do, but I think it's just the way you said it, it's one of those instruments you've got to use, you know, it's got to be used well to have an impact. And I think it just nails it. And I could just imagine, oh, I hope one day they'll ever do this like a live, like with all the late. I think that would look amazing if they ever did like all of these live, but.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful, hopeful one day, but you know, yes, that was my number one because I just, it sits with me.
Yeah, it. No, that was excellent.
That was
obviously
cool.
Obviously, these lists are entirely subjective, but that felt like a very fitting number one.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Next up, we have Chris's.
Yes.
Which, yeah. So let's go. So for context, Chris's number. Four?
My number five.
Number five.
The name of the song is the song. Same as the name of,
it's the name of my the name number of one game.
Yes, I know what this is.
Yes, you, yeah. It's Mullacorner.
It's Mullacorner. That's been on almost everyone's list.
It has.
They're trying to take over
the
our
kids
list.
Think about it.
Never going to buy one again.
Ever. Well, I'm going to write
this on anyway. Ones.
Yeah.
I'm by the Aldi.
There we go.
What game is this one?
Lost of the Light.
Cuttle.
Oh.
It's FTL.
FTL, yeah.
And it just goes to show that you don't need to be incredible at sound design to make an incredible theme. Because they're simple, but they work so well.
Mm-hmm.
They are incredibly simple, but very odd.
Game.
This, not just the opening song specifically, but the entire soundtrack is a favourite of mine to put on when I'm playing any sort of calm and relaxed sci-fi game. So if I'm doing some mining in Elite Dangerous, I'll pop this on. Sometimes when I'm playing Stellaris, I'll pop this on. It's a very,
I like this a lot.
It's a very, very nice soundtrack. Really, I don't know what to say. A single guy worked on it. The game originally was kickstarted and was going to be made by just two people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kickstarter did so well that they had enough money to hire Ben Prunty to make the entire soundtrack.
Oh, amazing!
And boy, did he do a good job!
Boy, did he do a good job!
Because, you know, you've got your saw wave, you've got your sine wave, and it pops together with just a little bit extra. It all works really well.
Yeah. It's very much one of those, like, soundtracks that's, like, the style of music's not massively my thing. But, like, we've played, we've done The Crew and some of the, like, sci-fi games, like, in person, board games, and we've had, like, this soundtrack on in the background. And it just does work really, really well. It just gives you that kind of like sci-fi but fun kind of feel, which is interesting because the game is very stressful for me. But
it's a really stressful. I've only ever succeeded in playing the game once.
Yes.
In all of the years, I also wanted to check. And I did check recently when I got this game, and it turns out it was the first game I ever got on Steam.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
I mean, my memories of this game is, this is one of those games that one of our founding hosts, Jack, would play in most of his lessons. in secondary school.
Wow, that's amazing.
So yeah,
what a legend.
Yeah, that's him. But no, very different to a lot of other things we've had, but very cool. And yeah, very just kind of relaxed.
I love the Lanius. I think it's the Lanius theme. It's my favorite.
Oh, which one was my favorite? I think my favorite was the. Oh, God, I'm going to have to get the names up now.
Rockman one's good as well, to be fair.
I remember Rockman.
They all have. They have two versions as well. You have the battle versions and the exploration versions, and it will dynamically shift between the two.
Yeah, it's really clever.
As you travel through an area.
I like it.
It's a wonderful, wonderful soundtrack.
Very cool.
Oh, look, that's the game you were playing.
That's the game I was playing the other day.
Yeah.
because of this list, I've very much gotten back into it again.
Nice.
So that's going to be my life for a few months now.
Yep. I'm going to replay all the Leightons again at one point. And add all these games I don't know to my wish list on Steam. So.
Okay, so Hayley's number one next, which is another that we have had before. It's Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight.
We have had that one.
Description. I like piano.
Yeah. That is valid.
There's a bit more, but I just like the first statement. Gentle, bittersweet, yet spooky score with a gentle harmony. Then the soft blend of strings comes into play, which, although smooth at first, flutters at the end like a trembling heart, or maybe little insect wings. Insert dramaticness, yes.
It's got a point.
And it does have more cello, which...
Is that your soft spot?
Cello is my favourite instrument. It's just, it's got so much... Ed did play cello. And maybe that helped a little bit, but no, it's just got so much richness to it. Like I love violins as well. I like string instruments. I mean, I like all instruments, but there's just the kind of like there's a richness to a cello that you don't really get with a violin or like a viola. It's just it's just a bit deeper and a bit. It's just more. I don't know.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
but
they're great.
But yeah, that plus the piano, and yeah, I mean we've talked about that theme before. Obviously, that was on Chris's list. It was going to be on my list, and then I saw it was on both of theirs, and I was like, okay, I'll take that out.
It just shows about how good a theme it is.
Because it's an awesome theme. Okay, coming into the last couple now, we have Tan's number one theme. Here we are.
Okay, my number one theme. It's Mother Corner. I wanted to pick. I was limiting myself to only one from each franchise.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have probably put a lot more from this franchise in there. And I don't think that would have been fair to every other song that I put in here. Mm. It's Ace Combat Zero.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at the beginning, but it doesn't matter. It is the song that plays during the intro and final boss fight.
Final boss fight, yeah, that makes sense.
And it is so good. It is, you have this incredible, you've got the Spanish guitars playing. A lot of this game uses Spanish guitars. They're strumming, and then they solo a little bit later. You have this build up and then the vocals.
The game called again?
Ace Combat Zero.
Ace Combat's one of those weird games that in my head it's always like Ace Combat, Ace Attorney. plus Star Fox. So it's always like cartoon characters in my head. And like, I know it's not that, but that's just always what I think of. For some reason.
It's also... It's got lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Latin.
Yes.
They're chanted. And it is... based off Ace Combat 5. Nice. There's a lyrics based off the Ace Combat 5, because this is like, they made these at a similar time, and Ace Combat 0 is like way back in the past, and is the precursor to the events of Ace Combat 5.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, they talk about, the lyrics mention, like the Razgrease demon, which is a huge bit of like what is in Ace Combat 5. Mm-hmm. And you have, here it is, you've got the solo, you've got that
Spanish guitar, it's awesome.
These rhythms, which are being driven, you've got, oh my gosh, polyrhythm here.
Yeah.
It is, it's brilliant in every possible way. I absolutely love this theme. It was difficult to choose, because all of the Ace Combats have great themes. But I think this one edges it out.
Mm. Project Windmill has pretty damn good music too. That's like one of the only things I know about it.
Pretty damn good music, but unfortunately the opening theme, the menu theme, is not
exactly great. And the thing that makes this one, the one I could pick, is because it plays in the intro.
Yeah.
And you're playing this. If we'd done the top 10 boss fight musics, I'd probably put this in there as well, but because I've already used it, I probably won't.
We will do that.
Do you care about spoilers?
Not massively.
Fighting your longtime friend who has defected to a revolutionary group and has caused nuclear weapons to be used by a country on its own soil. And he's got like this futuristic jet with a laser on it, and you're just in whatever plane you brought, and you're fighting each other, literally jousting, because his plane can only be hit from the front, so you have to joust him. It is brilliant, and the song is intense, the boss fight's really hard, unless you're me, because I'm obviously amazing at it, and this vocal here gives me chills alongside the little Spanish guitar playing in the side.
Spanish guitar is one of those things that like I discovered was awesome with Innuendo by Queen.
It's a great weapon. Weapon about instrument. Wow. That was weird.
Then they have it in the One Piece live action Zoro's theme.
Mihawk?
Mihawk's theme has Spanish guitar.
I thought so.
Really, really cool. And I was like, I forgot how much I love Spanish guitar. The piece at the end of that episode is called Zoro versus Mihawk, and it's got both, and it's really cool. But yeah. The Puss in Boots films also obviously used Spanish guitar quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome.
It's incredible. Ace Combat Zero, the whole Ace Combat series. Bam.
Mm-hmm. Now that was really cool. Like, yeah, Spanish guitar is not one of the kind of things I think of if you were saying it's a like
it's a playing game. Flying with combat planes. Game.
But yeah, matches fits so well.
It's because it's about like the art of dueling and dogfighting.
Yes.
They think of it like a dance, and obviously one of the there's a couple of like it takes place near Sapin, which is Spain, but an anagram of it in the alternate world.
Oh, clever.
And so you are going up against like a bunch of mercenaries from there. So you have a lot of like flamenco dancing themes.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's great. Cool. Okay. So with that, the final one.
The final one.
And this is one of the first games I got when I had Steam. A game that I have not gone back to since, really. Oh. Because the game was fine, it was kind of cool. But this theme has stuck with me, and that's why it's number one. Because the game was okay. It had some cool ideas, some cool combat, but it was not anything I really wanted to go back to. Maybe I will now that I've got it, but I've always remembered this theme. So here we go. Which is Child of Light.
Not a game I know.
No.
No.
I mean, also, you can hear what the main instrument is, can't you? It's a
cello.
It's a cello.
Cello, yeah.
This is another one where the whole soundtrack is beautiful. But yeah, it's like... it's set in like Lemuria, so it's kind of like a fairy tale kind of idea, and you're this child of light, and you're going on this long adventure. But yeah, this kind of just like it's like a somber melody. You've got like the little guitar and the piano as well. I don't really know what it is. It's just it's one of those things that just has always stuck with me.
That is really good.
Yeah, kind of similar vibes to like the Ori games in a way. And it's like side scrolling, and you've got a little glowing orb with you, but very different like start of combat and everything. But yeah, it's just got a very lovely melody, and then the mix of piano, guitar, and cello is just incredible.
No, that's great.
So, yeah. It keeps going, but like we have said, I think in the last episode, we will put all of these into a playlist, which will be linked along with the episode. So if you want to listen to these more yourselves, you can do so. But with that, that is the episode. That is our top 10 game title themes.
Yeah. Wow, that was a good list.
Ooh, that was a great list. That was very cool.
A lot of fun.
No Undertale. No Undertale in sight. No. Mostly because it's got lots of good songs, but the theme is not so much as my thing.
You have to wait until the boss music one.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure it will come up there.
There were a couple of themes that I went, oh, I completely forgot about that. Like Ori, for example. I can't remember exactly what their like main themes are, but I'm sure I'll have to check Ori before we do another list as video games. And there's another song which is like, well, I do love this one, but it's technically like a song. So I don't know if that counts. So yeah, that's what I left off as well.
The amount of songs I've seen since doing the list, you know, we've all done, and you hear another song, like you said, like, oh, really? Another time, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we will, in that case, leave this list here. I think our plan for our next list is going to be closing songs or credit themes from video games. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a
good interesting.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
So we'll have that one out at some point.
I'll have to refresh my memory on that.
Indeed. And
I'll limit myself to not putting the games that I've already put here in that.
I'm going to try very hard.
That's potentially going to be hard, but I'm going to try not to. But yeah, thank you for that, guys. That was really cool. Thank you for listening if you've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Combat Zero. It's a great one.
And we will see you next time. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Cabincast. For more episodes, go to www.cabincast.podbean.com or use the Podbean app. You can now also find us on iTunes and Pocket Casts under Cabincast and on YouTube. There are those there on my behind. Finally, you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/cabincast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.